Hey Ben.
Hey Jake.
What's going on?
Just sitting in my room in week, what are we, 19?
Yeah, 2.5 of stage 4.
Yeah, these walls are getting small.
Going well.
But you have a story for me, do you?
Is what it is. Well, I just noticed something last night on Twitter.
We tend to whisper a lot in this opening segment too, by the way.
We do, and sometimes it goes too long and we don't really know when to change back into regular voices.
That's okay, that's what podcasts are for.
A few, unfortunately now deleted tweets were going around.
Oh, I love a deleted tweet night, story.
So, the King, Wayne Carey.
Oh, yep.
Who is the best centre-half forward of any time? Hart, Dermy, Kernahan, Brown, Nick R, Jack R, Treadray, Lowe, Danaher, ? Please, so subjective, not included. And then God knows what really his point was, but so, obviously he's the greatest centre-half forward of all time.
But was there no context behind that? Not included?
And okay. then he goes, and then some, not quite an hour later, so not centre-half forward, 3! I know already, space to second, please.
Okay, so he's had a couple
Then, 2 minutes after that tweet, he goes, not my tweet, laughing emoji, although accurate, laughing emoji, black thumbs up.
Okay, firstly, too many laughing emojis. That is guilty if I've ever seen it.
And then he deletes all them but at 8:23 this morning. Broke my rule last night. Obviously meant last.
Oh, God, look in the tuck.
Hashtag above 0.05. And then your man, just to make this whole series as cringeworthy as it could possibly get, your man Tommy Brown, it was a good tweet, Duck. The obvious answer, you.
Oh, no.
The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos.
Bad luck for the Dons last night. Sad face. Poor Ben, brackets Magoos. Wouldn't be happy. From Nan.
Thank you, Nan. Thank you, Nan Lambert.
At least we know that we've got one listener that's just
That is beautiful. And I'm glad. Honestly, that warms my heart that she was thinking of me, because I needed someone to think of me that night. I definitely was disappointed.
I reckon you would have been the living embodiment of the emoji she sent to, just like the welling up eyes. That was the
on
the verge of tears emoji.
Well, yeah, we got new neighbours last week, and we introduced ourselves to them when they moved in. Just got them a bottle of red, and they baked us a cake. You know, kept our distance, of course. But they baked us a cake and brought it over on Sunday, and they were asking who we follow, because they said it was a bit loud here on Friday night. So yeah,
I don't know what they're in for.
The Magoos.
Benny, another Magoos episode. Feels like just the other day when we were recording, but there's so much footy, there's so much to talk about. The people are loving what we're putting out there.
Yeah.
Another big episode last week means that we only have to raise it another notch.
There is a bit of hub life about us too, actually, in terms of we go quite a few days without a podcast, and then we do two in the space of 4 days. Like, I think our recovery is just as important on this show.
Yep. I couldn't agree more. It's important that, you know, we do things outside of the podcast and make sure we're continuing to stimulate our minds that way. And what I do outside of this podcast is watch the footy so we can talk about it on the podcast. So,
well, I'm glad one of us does, because after after Friday night, I couldn't watch much footy for the weekend, Jake.
After Saturday, Sunday. When did we play?
You played Sunday.
I've already blocked it out. I've already blocked it out. We'll start with your experience, because it's the second weekend in a row you've had ruined.
Absolutely.
Which doesn't really bode well for our little program, that you just sack footy as soon as Essendon lose.
I think it actually bodes very well for the program. We can't both be footy nerds on this show. It'd be just another Barrett and whoever else talking rubbish.
Barrett and someone else who likes footy.
That's how much I'm not into footy. I don't even know another bloody journo.
The people.
Yeah. But yeah, purple. It's the same person.
I said people.
Yeah, no, I said purple. No, I was.
Cracking start.
I was pretty happy with most of the. So I was saying this, Sam, my housemate, were watching the footy, Essendon supporter as well. Umpiring wise was going not too bad, I thought, for most of the game, and then the last decision, Jake, came down for the last decision again.
I feel like I'm going to poke the bear here, but it was too hot.
Sure. If you're on Twitter and you have a still screen of high contact, I mean, that's what a lot of arguments were.
I think if you get hit in the head and there's a photo of you getting hit in the head, it means you got hit in the head.
Oh, okay. So Townsend, who got knocked out with contact to the head, should have got a free kick too then? Is it by that logic?
He could have. He shouldn't have, and he didn't. I feel
it was
like
the right call.
Because it was different. They were different, so Ward was down over the ball going to get the ball.
No,
he wasn't going for the ball. What do you mean he had his hands on the ball?
No, he ran in there trying to get his head taken off. And it was a very professional.
He had his hands on the ball.
It was a very professional free kick, but the way he acted as well.
Yes, he threw his head back, but I mean, that doesn't mean that it wasn't too high. Like, he did, you know? Like, I mean,
no,
but he had his hands over the ball and he had his hands on the ball and he got hit in the head. No.
If it was Sam
Petrefki
Seaton who did it to him, you would have been in a bloody roar.
See, I'm genuinely confident in myself that. And I'm well aware that Sunday I unravelled.
You sure did.
Yeah, I sure did. But that free kick, I thought, was... And my lovely girlfriend, Rachel, is a very involved Essendon supporter, and I was sitting there and didn't voice this opinion at the time, given that I know what's good for me. but I sort of sat there and I just thought, well, I think that, you know, on first... you know, first vision, I thought, yeah, it's probably a free kick, and he's put some mayo on it, and the umpires fall for that every time. And when I saw the replay, I thought, well, yeah, you know, like he's still been hit in the head with his head over the ball, and then it was a pretty nice kick, tick the goal. But then the argument that sort of ensues after that is that then because Saad then kicks the next goal after that, it's like we would have won if this, we would have won if that, and it's like, well,
I don't stand with that.
You know,
yeah, I more stand with in terms of spirit of the game. I'm more of that sort of, one of the arguments is it has to get back to the middle of the ground for a ball up, which is obviously more in Essendon's favour because it was deep in our back line anyway. I'm just more about the spirit, and I think we just gloss over the whole diving thing. Like we're just like, yeah, sure, he put a little bit of mayo on it. All right, let's cut it there. We need to stamp that out of the game. That is what actually needs to go. That sort of this.
But he got hit in the head though.
But the reason he got so this is if you actually dive deep into this issue, the reason he got hit in the head is because he wasn't protecting himself, and the reason he's not protecting himself is because you get looked after when you get hit in the head. A lot of these players don't care about their future brain injuries and stuff like that. They in that spur of the moment, they want that free kick and they know how to get it. He sees Sean McKernan, a bloke who turns around like a Mack truck, which like don't get me started on him, by the way. He turns around like a Mack truck. He knows if I run as quick as I can, I'll beat him to this and I'll get a free kick. I think there was no intention of Callum Ward to win the ball and then go on and handball off to a mate or something like that. I think he wanted that free kick as much as anyone wanted a free kick, and that's what I have the issue with. So the umpire falling for it as well is a different story, but it's the fact that he got... Like a lot of other... Someone who more had the spirit of the game... within them, I don't think they would have gone in like he went in. So it's like, there's no right or wrong answer. It's just the whole look of it. It's like I'm going to win this free kick, but not in a deserving fashion. It's just like that's just the way the game's being umpired now. Nobody deserves, like most of the time, there's not a deserving free kick. I mean, we could get talking about the hole in the ball rule, which you're clearly a fan of after Sunday.
No, I mean. I watched that game and obviously there was a lot of pushback on that Ward free kick. But the one that annoyed me as a neutral watching that game was the Shield deliberate. When he handballed back. It was late in the last quarter, and it was just right. It went over Saad's head. It was a poorly executed handball. Yeah. And I mean, it's not. They need to change the name of that rule, because it can't be deliberate out of bounds anymore. It can't be, because they aren't pinning it for deliberate.
No,
they're pinning it for you know, no, I guess, genuine attempt to, like, the players aren't trying to keep the ball in. So they're not deliberately putting it out, but they don't mind if it goes out, you know. We see, like, every week now, just because the player is angled that way, they can kick the ball 50 metres and it can bounce and dribble out.
Yeah.
And players can let it go out because they know they're going to get the free kick. So plus, if you're talking about...
You finish what you're saying, sorry.
there is the conversation around whether or not it becomes like last kick out or last touch out, and you just bring it back in, a bit like soccer.
No.
There's some iterations of that between, like, talking about only doing it between the arcs and stuff, but I don't think that's too far away from what footy is, and the throw-in's quite unique, and the stoppage work, you know, that's where the good players grind down opponents at stoppages. And I don't think that needs to be taken away. We'll probably end up
getting rid of the rucks if that's the case, if it's last touch. Yeah. Because then they're really only needed for a centre clearance or a centre bounce. Mm. But the that's another one I think needs change. There's a handful of them that need to go back to what they were or change once again. There's the deliberate out of bounds. I get where they were coming from, where they want to keep the game going, the game in play. So if you clear it out of your 50 and there's already, say, say 20 blokes already inside that 50, what are you doing by rewarding a free kick to the opposition going back that way?
Mm.
It's already congested down there. That's where they just bomb it long again. So if you created that semi-congestion where the throw-in would be, you clear both 50s once again. So it was almost like we paid the deliberate because we wanted it to come in because we wanted a more free-flowing game. But they're just bombing it straight back into where the congestion is, which is, if you ask me, worse. So there's a number of band-aid problems that we don't think about context and the spirit. Again, I'll talk about the spirit, but we don't think about the consequences of the rule changes. I think it's just... It needs an overhaul, and I'm not one sitting here going, geez, the umpiring's shocking at the moment. It's really not the umpire's fault. Although, I mean, there's a few times it is, but it's very rare. It's just complete changing all the time.
I don't want to, I do, and I was frustrated on what I saw Sunday afternoon. I thought that was a real, and we've said it before, I've said it before on the show, I said, I don't care if it's wrong or if the interpretation's this, or don't tell me it's a hard game to umpire if you can't be consistent within the same game.
Mm.
If you can't be consistent in how you adjudicate things in 2 minutes apart, I think the Carlton West Coast game, you know, obviously it overly frustrated me and I had an overly vested interest in it because it was Carlton, and we seemingly got the raw end of the deal. And that happens in footy and things change, and the next week we'll probably get 2 goals from ones that weren't there, and that's how it works. But, I mean, and the run that West Coast get over there too, don't just ignore that. But, like, I think that the fact that, and yes, it's a hard game to umpire, and yes, there's that whole aspect of, you know, they're changing interpretations and this, that, the other, but you can't pay one thing 2 seconds before and then when it happens again, pay it. They have to be consistent within their own performance. And, I mean, the Petrovsky Seton holding the ball was, you know, like, and then in one of our many group chats, it would chat footy and whatever, and then there was one, like, there was, like, the tiniest little free kick given in the early in the Melbourne game, and you just start with a sour taste in your mouth.
Yeah.
And you just sort of go, oh, not again. Like, yes. I know we're watching a lot of footy and we sort of, but, like, you see a crappy little free kick that they won't pay 99 times out of 100, but then all of a sudden some bloke whips it out and you go, like, what's going on? Is this going to be the whole game? Because I can't sit through this if it's going to be. And it's just the inconsistencies, I think, that frustrate them. And then, as we sort of said, Sunday Twitter blew up a lot and people were piling in. And one of our loyal listeners, Jack Ridewood, is a big Tigers man, and he obviously had seen some of the vested frustrations on Twitter and just sent me a message and said, mate, just make sure you go and have a beer. Because you might need that. And he was correct.
He was correct. But, like, usually, I know we laugh that, like, I only watch, you know, the Bombers games at the moment, but If we rewind where the umpiring was an okay spectacle, or the game was at least a good spectacle, Essendon lost, I'd get over it. I'd still watch the remaining games or a few games. But at the moment, when it's like, as you said, that inconsistent, it actually puts me off watching neutral games too. That for me is a big, like, that's a red flag for me, because I still love watching other teams play. In fact, it's better because I can actually take my goggles off and just watch good football. But it's been hard to watch other games when it's still being adjudicated like that. Mind you, complete contradiction to that rule was the game that we did the conference for, Port Adelaide versus Richmond. Wasn't that just one of the greatest spectacles you've seen in a long, long time?
I could not believe what I was watching. I had a bit of an off round with tipping, or whatever round we're up to, whatever round that was a part of. My footy's been had come good a little bit, but we all know on this podcast that I'm a believer in Port Adelaide, and I've long been pretty strong on Geelong. I mean, I've sort of tipped them for the flag the last few years, but I tipped Richmond in this game, and then I tipped St Kilda against Geelong, and I'm not really sure why, but that Port Adelaide Richmond game was just incredible. They were just slinging the ball from. It had everything. Literally had everything. Yep. It had, you know, this impending weather. It had, you know, scoring goals. It had the big Chuck Wagon.
Yeah, wasn't he good?
He was incredible. He's just like, he doesn't seem like a mean guy, but he's just so big and intimidating. I think that he sort of comes across that way, and he's kicking brilliant goals, and then, you know, Richmond would be four goals down and then 2 points in front, and then, they're missing goals from in front, and
it's high scoring,
and Damien Hardwick losing his mind at Josh Caddy, which was a good laugh.
Wasn't that beautiful? We probably can't repeat what he said on that one.
No, we probably won't look to do that.
Sprinkle on top of that game was the whistles were put away for the most part. And now, I wouldn't sit here and say that's why it was a great spectacle, because you had two of the best, legitimately best teams going at it, which definitely helped, because the way that they use the ball is just better than most teams.
They're good at
what they do. But the umpiring also, in the same weekend that left many supporters of other clubs so frustrated, watching that and going, well, this is the same game at the same level in terms of competition. Why are we... I'm a bit of a conspiracy kind of man, but do you think the AFL at some stage said to the umpires on that day, look, this is definitely, you know, the biggest game we've probably had all year, and there's no doubt that we're under a bit of pump, under the pump with certain umpiring decisions and rule changes. Do you think that they've actually said, just ease up just a little bit?
Well, it's interesting. Nick Graham, obviously former Carlton player, and I assume future Magoo's guest, potentially.
Absolutely,
Nick, if you do listen to the show. He was quite outspoken over the weekend and frustrated by the umpires, and I think he said, I'm assuming tongue-in-cheek, but the next game I watch will be the grand final, because that's the day that the umpires let everything go and let the boys play, that sort of stuff. And it's probably no coincidence that, you know, you get a game like Richmond, Port Adelaide, and you don't really notice the umpires. And, you know, because it's too big to... And, I mean, you would hate that there would be directives for different games.
You would hate, sir. You.
But, look, I'm keen to not quite rule it out, which is interesting. But another thing that has sort of reared its head and was on Twitter, and it's going to be something we discuss at length next week with a special guest that we've got coming on.
Are we allowed to launch it?
I reckon we tease it. I think we just say that there is a special guest, and it'll be a really, really strong conversation, which we're looking forward to.
So you're like the Essendon Footy Club, basically, right now. You just look who we got.
Teasing.
Dylan Scheel. Yeah, we just got Dylan Scheel across here. Yeah, look who else we just got across here. And it's like, oh, beautiful. We're set for the top four.
Jimmy Stewart. But there was some, and we spoke about the Callum Ward incident and some nasty backlash online about that in death threats. And then Mitch Robinson, and I saw Jed Lamb as well, who tweeted about some of the messages, and Josh Bruce as well said minimum 30 messages a week that he gets. Most of them are gambling related. And I mean, we can't be at this place, can we? And we will delve into it next week, but we just want to touch on it because it is really topical at the moment, and we will be discussing it at length and sort of unpacking it a bit more with our special guest. But like, we can't be at this place as a society, can we, where people can just pile into play, you know, like I sort of would think, and again, I don't want to get lost in the topic, but that it would, and not that they're trying to do anything more, but obviously there's the same game multi and that sort of thing where you can get 15, 20 touches, whatever it is, but I would genuinely be thinking a player could look at their stats after the game and be like, great, I got 16 touches, I'm not going to get the messages this week.
Yeah.
And then someone will get 13 and 14 and they'll think, oh, fuck, here we go.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
So I'm just genuinely thinking that that might be where it is. And whilst the players probably don't care, but it's just another thing that just chips away. And we speak about mental health and all that sort of stuff in the game.
Yeah.
I just think that, and the other problem is that they're always like the nameless losers. And we spoke about Twitter verification and stuff like that. Like, there has to be more done to protect these people. And I know, and but it's the old social media argument, you know, like, is there good, is there bad, you know, where's the return on investment for the players? Because so much of it's great, but unfortunately some of the filters you'd have to use to get rid of those sort of nuffies would probably stop you interacting with a lot of core, genuine fans who just want to be following you and want an insight into your world.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is something we'll, with our guest next week, we'll dive into, but... absolutely no arguments from me, Jake. And to hear, honestly, to wake up Saturday morning and hear that it was Essendon supporters, it's honestly heartbreaking, because it's just sort of, not that, like, it doesn't matter that it was Essendon supporters. It sounds like it's happening across the board, but it's just like, you just get disappointed. Like, you're disappointed in just anyone who would do that, but then it does that little bit deeper. You're like, turns out it's someone who's also a supporter of your club. You're just that, you're just dickheads. It's just dickheads. But like,
and there's just no better way to put it.
Nah, But yeah, that's something we can talk about. Yeah, with our very very special guest next week.
And speaking of special guests, we might as well dive in to the game of the week conference call, Ben. Let's get to it.
Let's do it.
Time for my favourite segment on the Magoos, Benny. It's the game of the week conference call. Last week I don't think we got lucky, but I think we finally chose ahead of time what was going to be the game of the round. We seemed to struggle with that a little bit. And we previewed the Port Adelaide Richmond blockbuster, which meant that we could churn out plenty of stuff on the socials and whatever. So this week we've probably gotten a little bit greedy because we've looked ahead at round 12 and we've gone with Melbourne and Collingwood, two big clubs and well-supported teams, but two teams that have sort of mixed their form a little bit this year. So as it stands currently, it's 8th versus 9th. We know at time of recording, which we like to make everyone aware of, Collingwood are about to start another game against Adelaide. So if we can just assume that they win that, and hopefully I'm awesome. But, you know, it's a pretty big game, this one, and it's up at the Gabba. And we're joined here by two great contributors of the Magoos community, especially over the socials and also as diehard fans. We've got our man, Jimmy Plunkett, who is a big Demons fan. Jimmy, welcome back.
Thanks, Jake. Thanks for having me.
You're absolutely welcome. And dialing in all the way from a recent post out to Traralgon is Magoos. You know, I reckon, how many times have you been on, Mitch? You've been on a couple of times, haven't you, before, talking Collingwood?
Two or three times now, I think.
Two or three times. He's part of the furniture end here. It's Mitch Harris. Mitch, welcome.
Thank you, Jake. Looking forward to it, mate. If I seem a bit disinterested, the Pies are currently playing, mate. So I'm just tuning in on that.
Mate, we are grateful you're giving us even 10% of your attention.
Absolutely. Not quite enough to actually flick us off because the game's on. right in that sweet spot.
You're lucky.
We try and make it as quick as possible, but usually once we get on a roll, you know, it's some supreme stuff. So, Jimmy, we'll start with you. Melbourne there, we don't really know what we're going to get at any given time, do we?
No, not at all.
How does that place you as a supporter?
You're never confident, that's for sure. Never know which one they're going to dish up. Some weeks we've been bloody good and some weeks we've been absolutely horrible. So... that makes for good viewing, I guess. Not for me, but I'm sure the public would mind a bit of up and down sort of stuff. And we're in every game, but we could also be out of every game pretty quickly. So, yeah, who knows?
James, is there a team currently that you do know what you're going to get?
No, probably not. No, really, everyone's been a bit 2020. Up and down at that point. Yeah, 2020. But, yeah, no. The D's never, you never really know that any year 2020 has just enhanced it a bit more, I think.
Absolutely. And Mitch, I thought we lost you for a second there, but it's just looking down at the scores.
Just watching the scores, sorry.
Yeah, anyone just scored yet?
Score update, Tex Walker's kicked a point, that's all, mate.
Oh, Adelaide are due, by the way.
They've jumped you.
Quick starters.
So, Mitch, the Pies. I know it's sort of hard to look, you know, more than one game at a time, as everybody likes to say, but how have you seen their season to date?
Look, it's been rough. I don't want to blame injuries, but we've had plenty of injuries. You know, you look at the list at the moment and I think it's like 11 out of 22 missing. Thank fuck for umpires, that's all I've got to say. They've been on our side, that's for sure.
Anyway, you won't hear too many footy fans be cheering the umpires at this point of the season. And Jimmy, you're just there shaking your head.
I've seen you, your Twitter work, obviously not happy over in West Coast on the weekend, mate, with some of the calls.
Yeah,
and just on Twitter work, Jake, your Twitter work has been superb of recent.
This is a bit of a loving.
It's been good. It's like risen.
You got to use gifts, mate.
Mitch and James. I want to. Usually, he's quite reserved when it comes to Carlton and results, and not speaking outside of where he should. He touched on it on Sunday with the Carlton loss. Do you always want to see more of that from Jake on Twitter?
I'd love to see a bit angry Jake.
I could feel myself while it was happening, not to make this segment about me because we've already addressed this, but I could feel myself while it was happening, you know, knowing that I was going to regret really like launching into Twitter like that. But it was pretty well received online. So, I mean, you know, beggars can't be choosers. But
no, that's
Jimmy,
right.
How have you seen the umpiring, Jimmy? I know that you're a passionate man in everything that you
do. Yeah, I am. I sit there watching any game and I think Melbourne enhances it tenfold, but you don't really know what's going to happen, which... 2020 peak, but you don't know when they get tackled. Is it going to be ball? Is it going to be a ball up? Is it going to be in the back? Is it going to be too high? It's all over the shop, and you don't know which ones are actually right and which ones are wrong, which is also a bit concerning.
Yeah. You just got to look at the McGrath and the Petrescu-Seaton tackles and how they got pinned for holding the ball. It just doesn't make any sense.
No, that's exactly right.
Yeah, yeah. When you've got two blokes who actually look at the umpire and go, whose is it? No one deserved a free kick, don't you? That's the way I see it.
Nah. Yeah, it's crap at the moment. But it's not all the umpires' fault. I think changing the rules mid-year or the interpretation make it bloody difficult to umpire, that's for sure.
Sorry, Adelaide just kicked a goal.
Oh, who was it? First goal scorer.
Back to the future.
Young fella. Can't tell, sorry.
Young fella.
One knows Adelaide anyway. That's good.
Yeah, we will try and focus on this game just for the meantime. So let's forget Mitch that Adelaide have kicked that first goal. How do you see the Pies matching up against the D's this weekend?
You got to look forward to it, don't you? Grundy and Gorn, number one ruckman in the league.
Gorn plays. I don't know if he'll play.
He won't play. Will he? He's buggered. Little Ned McKendry was too bashing into him.
There's another problem, Adelaide. The dirty tactics off the ball. Let the great man play.
And he's your mate, isn't he, Jim? I believe that, you know, you have featured on this podcast a little bit, but you were on the, is it the captain's call that the Demons
did? Yeah, the captain's run with Max Gorn. Yeah, was on there with him and Angus Brayshaw a few weeks ago. So, yeah, I'll call him my mate. But, no, if you listen to it, he's actually flicked me off quite quickly, unfollowed me on Twitter. So, depends who you ask if we're mates or not.
We're just going to ask if you get a DM, but in for us.
I believe that he did promise that he would follow you back once he was out of the bubble, though, didn't he?
That's correct. So we'll just have to wait and see. Hopefully, he's a man that sticks by his word, so we'll have to wait and see.
Can I just ask why he unfollowed you to start with?
Well, his excuse was that he's in the bubble up in the hub, away from Melbourne, and he's trying to get away from the footy chat on Twitter.
Everything Melbourne.
And apparently I've made a footy tweet and he's gone, I don't want to read about that, so flick me off.
Shit.
I have to take the man for his word, so we'll go with that, but I'm not entirely sure that's the reason.
So, Mitch, getting back to the footy and not who follows Jimmy on Instagram, although on Twitter, although
I want
to ask.
That's a big power play to say Maxi Gorn follows you.
Well, he doesn't.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Mitch, so you spoke about Collingwood's injuries. Do you think that if Collingwood can keep touch enough, and Collingwood do have pretty strong depth, but as you said, if there's 11 of your 22 out, it won't make life easy. If Collingwood can keep enough touch, do you think there could be that feel of Richmond of 2019 that they might all of a sudden just be able to get everything coming back together at the right time?
I bloody hope so. It'll be nice. But with 20, as Jimmy said, 2020 is the unknown, mate. So if you're there at the whenever finals plays, I guess you're in it to win it. You just can't tell. Hoping. The fingers are crossed, that's for sure. As a diehard Pies supporter, I'm just hoping that we find some good form. We haven't been too good of late, but who knows?
You guys have definitely done in recent years with the injuries. Like, it seems to be a common thing when you guys have the list that is right there. The injuries early on, or we're getting midway through now, but you do tend to find a way just at the right time to get those wheels in motion. So do you, off the back of that happening in the past, do you feel like a little bit more confident about your boys getting up at the right time?
Definitely gives you confidence, and you just got to look at the players coming through now, like Dacos and Brown, the Brown brothers, and Quano, you saw his leg that bloody split in half. See those players coming through and they're making an impact on the game, and you just hope that they can do it come September or October, whenever the finals have been played this year. You hope they can keep the form.
Mm. What about you, Jimmy? Like, honestly speaking, Melbourne, let's not talk about 2018. That was they obviously dominated.
No, we can talk about that if you want.
We'll go back in time. How do you, a lot of experts, if you will, would probably not put you boys in the eight at the end of the year. Do you feel like you boys are far off list wise in the way you're playing, what's your honest opinion?
I don't think we're far off. I think if you look at our five losses, that they're actually all the top six, five out of the top six teams. So, and there was two of those games we probably should have won with Geelong and Brisbane, and you win those two close ones, and then you're in the top four. So. No, we're probably not far off, but there's some things that creep into our games that are not great. With, like, obviously it's a lot of talk about the disposal efficiency and skill levels lack at times, and very one trick ponies in the midfield. But I think the last few weeks have shown, I guess, against lesser opposition, but Oliver's back to his best form, and Petrarca's becoming an elite player. I think with those, and even Brayshaw played well on the weekend, and then even with Jackson and Wiedemann up forward, I think we've got some young players that could be elite players in the comp for the next 10 years. So I don't know if we're quite there this year, but I wouldn't be too worried with the list. I think the list is good.
It's interesting. One of the things that I find really interesting about Melbourne is the midfield, because they're all very good players, I think, but they're all very similar. Yeah. And I think that's what we've seen. Viney goes out of the side, so Brayshaw goes in the middle, and he does that really well. But do you think, Jimmy, that it's time to trade one of those people? I know that as soon as you do, you lose one to injury, and then, don't have what you had, sort of thing. But, teams often find themselves in this sort of conundrum with tall players and forwards and backs and that sort of thing. But is it time to move on a Brayshaw potentially if he's not in that core group of, because playing him on the wing is a bit of a waste of time. So can you trade him, get someone with a bit of pace, maybe get someone just that sort of X factor in the midfield? While sacrificing someone who seemingly you have a lot of that type of player.
I don't think I would be doing it with anyone other than Brayshaw. He'd probably be the only one that you'd probably look at. And if a trade's there, you have to look at it, that's for sure. And I think that if we can get someone, with a bit more X factor or elite ball user with a bit of pace, that probably could set apart our midfield from other teams. And you're right, they are very similar, Viney and Oliver. And Brayshaw. It's probably something that they'd have to look at. There's no doubt about that.
Direct so, what swap. Do you want for Brayshaw?
Yeah. I was going to say direct swap.
I'm asking first.
I want him.
It'd have to be an early draft pick, if not a player. I wouldn't be just giving it away for the sake of it, that's for sure.
He did come third in the Brownlow. And Mitch, a similar sort of trade based sort of list.
list question for you. You got a couple of big stars coming out of contract, Jordy Degoe and Darcy Moore. Let's say in the world where you can only keep one of them, which one do you build? Which one do you build the next Collingwood dynasty around?
Darcy Moore.
Yeah, that's a pretty easy question, isn't it?
That's,
oh, okay. Well, you ask some questions in, Jim.
I'm just going to look at his form. He's all Australian fullback at the moment. I mean, Geordie with his history, you just never know what you're going to get. And 2018 was obviously a real big year for him. But if you can repeat that, then you'd go Geordie Degoe. But Darcy's just had a good couple of years and he's building. And I reckon he'll be all Australian fullback. The thing that Collingwood's missing at the moment is a big forward. Mychek's obviously been awesome, but
yeah,
he can't be the number one forward. He's taken the number one backman, but we need someone like a Cameron or a maybe even a Ben Brown.
I think
about Mychek if he had the second or third best defender. Like, he has just, he's come out of nowhere, in my opinion. He's just, obviously Collingwood supporters rated him from early on, but I reckon he would just absolutely take the mickey if he had the second or third.
Well, he did. He kicked, what, 4 goals on debut against Freo, and then was our leading goal scorer last year. And, you know, we had Degoe firing, and, I mean, Coxie was Coxie. You never know what you're going to get with him, but he was taking, obviously, the number one backman being the big boy. So if Mychek gets second or third, he's just going to take the piss, and you'll see him up there in the Coleman again.
Geez, Ben Brown in the Magpie jersey. I'm just thinking about it now. It's a bit scary, actually.
Like, it'll just be like the North Melbourne one, but instead of the blue,
it's black. Yeah, that's right.
You did raise an interesting point there, and we don't want to sort of labour too long on this without getting some real game insights from you guys, which we're going to get shortly. But that All-Australian defender conversation is probably as interesting as it's been, because there's probably, I think, probably 6 or 7, maybe even 8 big defenders that could be all Australian at the moment. I mean, just going off the top of my head is you got Luke Ryan from Freo and Wiedering, Harris, Andrews.
Jonas.
Your man.
I'm waiting. There's a big one.
Tommy Jonas. Who did you just talk about? Mitch? Darcy Moore. Oh, Ridley's not in that conversation.
Oh, I'm not talking about the Bear. He's unbeaten this year, but
I don't think Stephen May's quite there. Sam Collins from the Gold Coast. He's Champion Data's number one. Wiedering. Sam Collins is Champion Data's number one rated key defender. So I'm not sure where you've given us the Stephen May one from.
I'll just have a look at his one-on-one battles. He hardly
wins. Bleeds red and blue, yeah.
Is he playing on the... Oh, it doesn't matter. Look, it's a really interesting conversation, and it's so nice to see defenders getting some limelight, because offense brings crowd, but defense brings championships, and the good teams have got good defenders. So, and we'll see that on Saturday, because we've got 2 great defenders in Stephen May and even Jake Lever, who I think is a really good player. It's an expensive back line, but you know,
it is expensive.
Money to make money, Jim, and Darcy Moore down the other end. So, Jim, you start us off. Who's going to win? How much and why?
I think the D's will get up. I think with we're just starting to roll on, get a bit more confidence in that midfield. And I think with a few players out like Treloar, and if Pendles doesn't get up, then we should be able to steamroll that midfield. I think that a bit underdone in there, the Pies. So if we can get on top there, and if Darcy Moore comes back in, I don't know if he will or not, but I'm guessing he will, then hopefully one of our other forwards can get off the chain, either Jackson or Wiedemann, and then I think May and Lever will do the job down back. So I'm thinking 4 goals, Melbourne, quite comfortably, really. Just start to get a real roll on into the year.
Love it.
There you go. And Mitch, your rebuttal?
Yeah, obviously going to go Collingwood. I think that it's going to be a good game. I can't see a difference between the 2 sides at the moment. Obviously, both got good midfields, good in and under. And speaking of in and under, you've got Joshy Dacos kicking a goal against Adelaide at the moment. So get around that.
Beautiful. Beautiful running commentary.
Bit of running commentary. Oh.
We actually don't have broadcast rights, so we cannot do running commentary. We'll get sued. Hutchie will sue us.
Fucking Hutchie. No, but we'll go. Oh, sorry, Hutchie, if you watch it.
No, you're allowed to say that.
You will be.
Yeah.
Nah, but I'll go to Pies by 2 goals. I think we'll get it done. If Gorn's not playing, you'll get Grundy killing it in the midfield and we'll have a day out.
Excellent. Go. Yeah.
Gentlemen, I want to say a huge thank you to both for joining us for the Game of the Week conference call. It was a great chat, a little bit of general footy stuff in there as well. So good luck for the big game and for the rest of the season for your teams. I'm sure that we'll catch up with both of you as 2020 rolls on. So just continue to enjoy the footy in your man caves there, looking very set up.
Give me the beat, boys, free my soul. Wanna get lost in your rock and roll and drift away.
I love that song. It's not what I was doing.
Is that not the song?
No, I was doing
it anyway.
Yes, but
give me the really beat, boys, and free my soul.
Ready,
rock and roll.
Sam 60 time, Ben.
Oh, it sure is.
It's starting to take over this show. It's what the people want. And Sam's even, I know that, you know, maybe some of this might get cut up for Instagram, but Sam's done his own Zoom background here and subscribed to my OnlyFans account. He's pointing in the wrong direction. That's how the reverse works.
I must say, wait till we throw to you, which before we get into what, I don't quite get the joke. What's OnlyFans? I've never... As someone
it's no joke, Ben. It's no
never.
Oh no, it's no joke.
what is it?
As child poverty. I'm for real. Oh. No.
What? Where does he get this stuff from?
Maybe his OnlyFans account. Who knows?
Maybe. Anyway, but that's not what we're here to do. Is
those
it,
listening? And Sam 60. Quite simple. We have my housemate
quite
Sam.
Quite simple.
It's as simple as it gets because Sam has 60 seconds. Jake's got the timer. He can discuss, we hope, a football topic, but he has 60 seconds to discuss whatever he likes. Samuel, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Well, your time starts now.
All righty. Well, first of all, evening. I'll probably spare 7 seconds on that one. But this
so you've literally wasted 7 seconds on that.
This show, I've got a bone to pick with KO. This week, we were treated to an absolute classic with the Port and Tigers fighting tooth and nail, in a game that resembled that September action that we all know and love. Hard riding, big tackles, pressure footy. You know, what better way to spend your Sunday arvo flanked by your best mate, sipping some beers and watching the very best.
30 seconds remaining.
For what some would say was a claim for the best team in the comp. Yeah, that's a pretty good recipe for a good Sunday. But the one thing that wasn't on my horizon was becoming a bloody IT technician. Swear to God. Every fucking 10 minutes, KO would drop out and I'd have to leap from my couch and hit that refresh button to get on back screen. I think I did my back, actually, for the speed I was moving. I didn't want him second. So, KO, if I have any slip discs or whiplash issues in the future, I'm sending my Cairo bill to you, because if your service can't perform when the best of the AFL's on, then I don't know, I'll get into acrylic painting.
Well, there was Sam 73 for this week.
Minus the 7 off the top.
Yeah, this is starting to turn into Hughesy loses it from old school Grove Live.
I don't like it.
It's just, I'm just going to whack you on mute there, Sam. But
that means I'm mute. Before people jump in and say, maybe check your internet, it's an internet thing. It's not an internet thing. It's an actual KO
thing.
It's
a KO problem.
Where it actually just cuts out. And it's always, you know when it doesn't cut out? This is my pickle. It never cuts out during ads. Ads are good to roam free. Is it a live thing? What is it? They need to explain themselves.
I couldn't even re-log in to my one for a little bit either. So there's definitely some issues at KO HQ, which I think is just Foxtel, mind you. But
it is.
But, you know, Sam's, as we've said before, with Sam 60, now Sam 73, no one is safe. So he's taking down the big names. And you know what? Going after a big media corporation is brave, because those sort of entities can just make you disappear. So he just has to be very, very careful. And you live with him, Ben, so you just I don't know how to do the editing. So yeah, I can't edit.
That's true. There's 1,000 people who know how to edit. There's millions of people who know how to edit, actually. You're probably better off with someone who knows what they're doing.
Well, there you
anyway,
go.
That anyway. Was Sam 60 and subscribe to his OnlyFans account. So
he hasn't given us his username. Do you have to
Is it, OnlyFans / housemate Sam? He's on mute. Yeah, thumbs up. All right. Cool.
All right. Well, there you go. Sam 60 done for another week. Has been here the whole time. If you could see that I'm the one who understands, you've been here all along, so why can't you see? Betty, another cracking show in the books. Thank you to everyone who is getting around the Magoo stuff for trying to do a little bit more fun stuff. You're busy at work in the editing studio, putting up some cracking videos. So thank you for all those efforts, Ben. They look fantastic. And Twitter and Instagram, you know, we're just continuing to tick over, nicely, picking up some followers and stuff. So make sure you tune in, like, subscribe and share and all that fun stuff. As we said earlier in the show, we've got a big guest on next week who we're really looking forward to sitting down and chatting with. We'll release a little bit more of that as the week goes on, so keep an eye on our socials. And thanks to everyone who got involved. Sam 60 again, always an interesting podcast and the game of the week. We can't wait to watch that as well. So thank you everyone out there for tuning in and listening once again, and enjoy as Footy Fest rolls on.
Still going, is it? Footy Fest?
Still going, yeah.
How long do we have left of this? Because my girlfriend is getting quite upset.
She's probably upset at you for other reasons, to be honest.
Yeah, but I'm blaming it on this.
Well, I think that, round 12 starts Thursday and ends Monday, and then round 13 doesn't start till Friday. So we've got till Monday, the 17th of August. So as we record this, 6 more days, but it's the 17th of August, so whatever day you listen to this on, count back from that day.
Well done. Simple maths.
Simple maths. All right, Magoo's community, thank you very much. We'll see you soon.
Ciao.
The Magoo's. The Magoo's. The Magoo's. The Magoo's. The Magoo's.